Reacher laid the phone on the seat next to him and followed Seth south, staying 30 yards back. The guy was really hustling. His arms were pumping. Reacher had no scope, but he was prepared to bet the thing in Seth's right hand was a revolver, too, probably half of a matched pair his father had shared. Reacher steered and accelerated and pushed on to within 20 yards. Seth was racing hard, knees pumping, arms pumping, his head thrown back. The thing in his hand was definitely a gun. The barrel was short, no longer than a finger. The two-lane road was 40 yards away. Reacher had no idea why Seth wanted to get there. No point in it. The road was just a black-top ribbon, with no traffic on it and nothing but more dirt beyond. Maybe it was a generational thing. Maybe the youngest Duncan thought municipal infrastructure was going to save him. Or maybe he was heading home. Maybe he had more weapons in the house. He was going in roughly the right direction, in which case he was either terminally desperate or the world's biggest optimist. He had more than 2 miles to go, and he was being chased by a motor vehicle. Reacher stayed 20 yards back and watched. Way behind his left shoulder, a last propane tank cooked off with a dull thump. The Yukon's mirror filled with sparks. Up ahead, Seth kept on running. Then he stopped running and whirled around and planted his feet and aimed his revolver two-handed, eye-high, with his aluminum mask right behind it. His chest was heaving, and all four of his limbs were trembling, and despite the two-handed grip, the muzzle was jerking through a circle roughly the size of a basketball. Reacher slowed and changed gear and backed up and stood 30 yards off. He felt safe enough. He had a big V8 engine block between himself and the gun, and anyway, the chances of a panting, untrained man even hitting the truck itself with a short-barreled handgun at 90 feet were slight. The chances of a successful headshot through a windshield were less than zero. The chances of putting the round in the right zip code were debatable. Seth fired 3 times, well-spaced, with a jerky trigger action and plenty of muzzle climb and no lateral control at all. Reacher didn't even blink. He just watched the 3 muzzle flashes with professional interest and tried to identify the gun. But he couldn't at 30 yards. Too far away. He knew there were 7- and 8-shot revolvers in the world, but they weren't common, so he assumed it was a 6-shooter, and that therefore there were now 3 rounds left in it. Beside him, the phone squawked with concern, and he picked it up and Dorothy Coe asked, "Are you okay? We heard shots fired."
"I'm good," Reacher said. "Are you okay? He's as likely to hit you as me, wherever you are."
"We're good."
"Where's Jacob?"
"Still heading south and west. He's slowing down."
"Stay on him," Reacher said.
He put the phone back on the seat. He kept his Glock in his pocket. The problem with being a right-handed man in a left-hand drive truck was that he would have to bust out the windshield to fire, which used to be easy enough back in the days of pebbly safety glass. But modern automotive windshields were tough because they were laminated with strong plastic layers. And anyway, his heavy wrench was in the burned-out Tahoe, probably all melted back to ore. Seth rested, bending forward from the waist, his head coming down almost to his shins, and he forced air into his lungs, and he panted once, then twice, and he straightened up and held his breath and aimed the gun again, this time with much more concentration and much better control. Now the muzzle was moving through a circle the size of a baseball. Reacher turned the wheel and stamped on the gas and took off to his right in a fast, tight circle, and then he feinted to come back on his original line but wrenched the wheel the other way and rocked the truck through a figure eight. Seth fired once into empty space and then aimed again and fired again. A round smacked into the top of the Yukon's windshield surround on the passenger's side, 6 feet from Reacher's head. One round left, Reacher thought. But there were no rounds left. Reacher saw Seth thrashing at the trigger, and he saw the gun's wheel turning and turning to no effect at all. Either the gun was a six-shooter that hadn't been fully loaded, or it was a five-shooter. Maybe a Smith 60, Reacher thought. Eventually, Seth gave up on it and looked around desperately, and then just hurled the empty gun at the Yukon. Finally, a decent aim. The guy would have been better off throwing rocks. The gun hit the windshield dead in front of Reacher's face. Reacher flinched and ducked involuntarily. The gun bounced off the glass and fell away. Then Seth turned and ran again, and the rest of it was easy. Reacher stamped on the gas and accelerated, and lined up carefully, and hit Seth from behind, doing close to 40 miles an hour. A car might have scooped him up and tossed him in the air and sent him cartwheeling backward over the hood and the roof. But the Yukon wasn't a car. It was a big truck with a high, blunt nose. It was about as subtle as a sledgehammer. It caught Seth flat on his back, everywhere from his knees to his shoulders like a 2-ton bludgeon, and Reacher felt the impact, and Seth's head whipped away out of view, instantaneously, like it had been sucked down by amazing gravity. And the truck bucked once like there was something passing under the rear left wheel, and then the going got as smooth as the dirt would let it. Reacher slowed and steered a wide circle and came back to check if any further attention was required. But it wasn't. No question about it. Reacher had seen plenty of dead people, and Seth Duncan was more dead than most of them. Reacher took the phone off the passenger seat and said, "Seth is down." And then he lined up again and drove away fast, south and west across the field. Chapter 61. Jacob Duncan had gotten about 200 yards from his house. That was all. Reacher saw him up ahead, all alone in the vastness, with nothing but open space all around. He saw Dorothy Coe's truck 100 yards farther on, well beyond the running man to the north and west. It was holding a wide, slow curve, like a vigilant sheepdog, like a destroyer, guaranteeing a shipping lane. On the phone, Dorothy said,